I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband, Mick, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is called The Secret Analysis. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that a few seconds after Mick's gone off.
Gone off, yes. Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistverse.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services that we have to offer, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and we're also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is a spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the duration of the show, and I won't know about anything else that happens, because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. Please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show, because it would take up too much of our valuable time, or rather should I say Spirit's valuable time. So I'm going to say goodbye for this week, because that's all I have time for, and I'm going to go to sleep.
And bye-bye.
And goodbye.
Thanks, Mick. Yes, Gregory, who we will be listening to very shortly, had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. But now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, will form to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They're made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. Oh, is there... there's music playing? Oh, okay. All right, then. Oh, apparently... I don't know if I can get through to the studio. Yes, okay, somebody's going to call the studio for us, because apparently that there's music playing. Anyway, the information that we bring to you is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. But the next voice that you will hear apart from mine is going to be Gregory Hay. But just before that, I'd like to talk you through what we're going to be talking about tonight on the show. We're going to be talking about The Secret. I don't know, I know probably people are thinking, oh no, not The Secret again. But really, it was an excellent DVD, a really good film, talking about the law of attraction. If anybody didn't see it or doesn't know about it, it was, well, the simplest definition of this, of the film and what it was about, was basically talking about the law of attraction and how you attract what you focus on. You bring it to yourself. You're attracting to yourself what you want. You manifest your desires. Even when you're focused on what you don't want, you're still attracting to yourself this that you do not want. So you have to pay attention where you place your thoughts and desires, basically. And it's all about being positive, really. We've been talking about this for many years, as have many, many people. It's a great film. It really is, and I think everybody on Earth should watch it. But we feel that there are certain areas that we need to discuss, because they're not grey areas as such, but areas I think we need to clarify and maybe dissect slightly, really, to go into it a little bit more and get the spirit world's perspective on this. We've been talking about it for many years, and we actually call this energy positive harmonic propulsion. So whatever you call it and however it works for you, then it's just an excellent way to live your life if you can. But I think in some areas it's rather a simplistic view, and I think we need to maybe go through some of these grey areas, really, and just have a good old chat about it. So if you would like to join us with a question, if there's something, maybe you've seen the film, or there's something that's puzzled you about using this way of life, then maybe you would like to join us with a question. The phone lines are open. It's toll-free. Just in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And you will talk to Gregory, and he will answer you. So that's wonderful. It's not a reading question, okay, folks? Okay. Well, anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now.
With love and light, dear friend.
Hi.
May peace grace your path, dear friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I was just telling our listeners in the introduction to the show that we've been calling this law of attraction a positive harmonic propulsion, haven't we?
Yes, because that's what it is.
Yes.
If you are looking at something, if you are observing something, you're using your mind, you're registering it. If you are registering it in a positive way, that is, you are actually bringing your emotion to bear upon it, you are then giving attraction to that emotion. That emotion is something which then is very positive and uplifting, both for it and you, because you are glorying in that which you see, or that which you hear, that which you experience within the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole thing actually becomes, if you like, the central prism of how your mind can therefore create onward and upward, can create a different vibration for your physical state to interact with. This simply means, dear friends, that you as a physical being will then be able to attract more positivity to you because, quite simply, you are giving more positivity out to the rest of the world, to your environment, to the things you see, the people you meet. And so it goes on.
Hmm. Yes. And you know, it sounds great, and I do use this every day, and all of the, you know, whenever I can, it's something that actually it keeps me afloat, as it were.
Yes.
You have to, and it's not as easy as it sounds. It's very difficult because of the amount of negativity we come across in our life.
Yes, absolutely so. And, of course, everyone comes across a degree of negativity, I would have to say, and that for some people it may be just like water off a duck's back. They don't pay it any attention. But that doesn't mean to say that it doesn't actually still deeply inwardly affect them. It may well do, and it may be something that they actually perhaps stall about. Perhaps that they feel a difficulty with after many years of accruing various forms of negativity. It gradually wears someone down.
Mm. Well, not only that, it encroaches on your positive harmonic propulsion, your law of attraction. I mean, so what I'm trying to say is you're acting with others and their law of attraction, aren't you?
Yes, of course. Both we in the spirit world and, of course, for you in physical life, you are also bringing about a law of attraction toward you purely and simply by the things you're thinking and the sayings you're saying. The very thoughts and images you conjure up in your mind are all going to have a part to play upon your life. So if you dwell in negativity, or if you think that, for example, you are going to be ill if you're a bit of a hypochondriac or something like that to do with your life, then it may well be, of course, that you actually sail through life and that you don't actually succumb to anything, but because you're taking all these different pills and potions or whatever for every single ailment that you think or that you feel. And all that you are doing is interacting with the difficulty that you are creating by your thoughts, or the difficulty that you are creating through the sensation you are passing out to the spirit world or to other people around you. It's affecting your auric field, and that cannot be good.
No, but what about, I think, what about the situation where, let's say, you're living in a family that don't practice this way? Not, I wouldn't say dysfunctional family, but, you know, the ordinary everyday family,
yes,
squabbles that goes on. And you practice the law of attraction, you practice this.
Yes.
What happens to your pathway when it involves these other people's energies?
Yes, well, very interesting, my friend, that you should mention this, because, of course, as we all know, or should know, that each person's pathway is, of course, subject to a certain extent to someone else's life plan and someone else's pathway. So just because, my dear friend, that you are perhaps giving out all of this positivity and love, yes, love from within a self, and also, of course, you may be doing all of the very positive things that it needs be to be met for the service that you feel as being akin to other people and other spirits. So the situation then becomes that, quite simply, your life may be overridden by someone else's, purely because their law of attraction may be negative. Their way and their thinking, their schematic of their life, has, in effect, taken precedence over yours, simply by their power, simply by their energy, perhaps. That's something that maybe that perhaps a little innocent somewhere cannot deal with.
Well, that's my point about it being simplistic in certain areas. It doesn't cover the fact that you are involved, entangled and entwined with so many other people,
yes,
people's lives.
Absolutely. You cannot say for one instant that the people involved in the three aeroplanes, in the Twin Towers and all of that terrorist attack, were there by design, were there because they wanted to be there.
That they attracted it to them.
That they attracted it to them, exactly. How could they have possibly done that? How could that mother and little girl who were sitting at the back of one of the planes, and they were just praying that all would be made well, that these people would be stopped? And they weren't, of course. How would you think that little innocent child was thinking at the time that she passed to the spirit world, and as many would have it, oh, well, this is something that she attracted to her? Of course it wasn't.
Mm.
It's nothing to do with the law of attraction in that respect. What was attracted to her was, in fact, that the lives of other people who overrode their law of attraction, mm-hmm, purely and simply because they had a greater energy. So does this mean to say then that this little girl's energy was lacking, or her mother's energy was lacking? Does it mean to say that the love between them was any less purely because they were in that situation and that was all part of the plan? They were meant to be there? You cannot possibly say that. That anyone who would be listening to that kind of sentence and sentiment would think that you were talking of evil language, because it just could not possibly be that God or the power of Is could even evocate such a situation, such a standoff situation to do with negativity. So does that mean to say then that God or Is, the source of all life, has nothing at all to do with whether something is negative or positive? I have to say, my dear friends, that much of this is to do with the fact that when the pure spirit comes to have life in a physical form, the spirit, pure as it remains, your spirit, everyone's spirit who is listening to this program, is pure, absolutely pure, beautiful, unique in its essence, in its energy and form.
Mm.
And yet, what it is that overpowers it every time in the physical state is the physical life and the energy emitted from it, or the thoughts that are created within that physical life. So, my dear friends, if you have a being who wishes, because of their extreme negativity of life, that they want to create havoc within somebody else, that they want to use someone else's life as a tool for their own purpose, for their own gain, for their own ego, for their own religious understanding or wishful thinking, if they want to use that other person for their own lack of moral identity and wish to use that person's life as a statement of their own, I have the power to do this. It's exactly the same thing, my friend, as children who are trained to slit the throats of adults in wars in Angola or wherever it is. It's exactly the same principle. And this is to do with the physical laws which apply in physical life. These are not the same laws which apply in the spirit world. And you cannot mix the two. You can try all you like. You can try to say, oh, but the power of love defeats everything. Well, yes, I have to say it defeats a great deal. If there wasn't for love, you would all be at each other's throats. Make no mistake about it, you would.
Did we know about, well, actually, would you say that this law of attraction is the process by which the universe expands?
I would say that the law of love is the process by which the universe expands. Now, I understand that I may have to equate that with the principles of chemical and physical matter, and how all of that physical matter has an interactivity with love, with the energy of love. How can that possibly be? After all, physical matter can be an inert object, like a stone or a rock, a piece of dirt, or perhaps a specific substance, which is not of a mind, doesn't have a principle, doesn't have an energy, doesn't have a thought, doesn't have a feeling, doesn't have a sense, doesn't have any aspect of spirit within it, you would say, you would think. And yet, in fact, if you look at anything which has been interactive with physical life, if that was a chemical, or if that was a molecule or a structure of some physical state, then it would have life living within it, perhaps living off it, perhaps using it in some way in order to break down a certain other situation that it needed in its life. Like rust, for example, only is created because of the presence of water, oxygen, and a specific metal or other. You will have the different combinations of the ways in which chemical extrusion allow and dictate certain metaphysical forces, which are not, in fact, metaphysical at all, but purely physical. And yet they have a metaphysical connotation, because you could be interacting with a physical presence or a life form within that particle of rust, purely because it may be in the presence of water, it may be in the presence of oxygen. All of these things are actually having an interactive part to play in that change of the actual structure and DNA, or the structure of chemical division, the nuclear structure, if you like, of that particular state. And you are observing that these different chemicals, these different particulates, are breaking down and working upon each other. And that's what happens in a world, in a planet. All of these situations are creating, supporting life, continuing ad infinitum, really, and continuing to express itself, continuing to eat and be eaten, even chemicals and different situations of structure tend to interreact with one another, given the right chemical structure, the right atmosphere, the right tolerance. Then becomes one is absorbed by the other as a form of food, if you'd like, or it changes it into a different structure. Isn't that all a part of the, some would say, chaos of life? But it isn't chaos, really. It's all actually quite mathematical. It's quite well laid out. It's perfect, in fact. Not quite well laid out, it's perfectly laid out. Quite simply because the law of the universe dictates it, and that in certain environments it will change and alter. In certain environments, one specific material which would have been inert in any other circumstance would suddenly come alive and breathe life. Because that's the way of it. That is how the perfect power of is creates and continues to create throughout the universe and all universe which ever have existed.
If you would like to join us with a question to Gregory about our subject tonight, we're talking about the secret and the law of attraction and anything to do with the positive versus negativity and the things that we have to do in our life to make ourselves get through it, really. Anyway, if you'd like to phone us, it's toll-free number in the US. It's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And of course, you know, some of our readers might have their own methods, like a variation on a theme. Like I said, there's many people have been talking about this for many, many years, and whether they've stumbled across it by design, desperation, you know, whatever. I mean, the other thing was that we heard about Albert Einstein and Isaac Newton and all of those people being expert facilitators of the law of attraction. Did they know it at the time?
I would have to say, my dear friend, they certainly did know it at the time, quite simply because they felt uplifted when finding creative states of awareness were actually affecting them.
So they stumbled across it?
Well, yes, I would have to say, really, they did.
Yes, it's not something that they learned, that they worked out, you know, sort of on their graph paper or whatever.
No.
Scientifically.
No, quite so. And it wasn't either something that was told to them by their parents.
No.
It was actually something which became a form of knowledge, if you like, a form of well-being and understanding.
Mm.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Vince O'Brien.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead.
Hello, I'm on the call?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Gregory. This is Vince. My question is, in regards to the law of attraction, that's come out to be a real big thing right now. But for those of us that realize we need to go beyond that, creating that that heart-mind connection, really going, learning to go within, how can we attract the things that we need to be able to move our soul evolution, our enlightenment forward while we're going through this kind of metamorphosis, you might say?
Yes, it is, of course, my dear friend, that I acknowledge that many people find a difficulty, particularly if the situations around them are of a negative state, or perhaps because they may well be attracted to various situations in the media, which then lends itself to this lower form of vibration. The point that you have to remember, my dear friend, is that in understanding your ability to be able to move forward and to continue to create, that is, creating the law, the feelings, the understanding, the emotion of love, of course, yes, to your fellow man, but also understanding as well that if you actually take your part to play, that is, you are creating something of positivity and you are also living that positivity, it means to say, my dear friend, that you're actually putting yourself out there. You are communicating that positivity, are you not? And if you are doing that, then that is something which will then feel lighter for you. It will increase your vibration quite simply because you'll actually feel as though you are having a hand in it. You are taking part in life, the life of everyone else. You are actually contributing toward this in a very selfless way, but also in saying, I am this, and I understand this, and I can see that this is a positive way forward. And actually talking about it will help you and your vibration to further extend itself. And this will, in turn, my friend, make you feel as though you are really a part of the community of all of these other people that are doing the same thing. The essence that I have very much a part of in human physical life is that for too long, too many human beings have felt that they are a lone voice. So being a lone voice means that you don't say anything because you don't want to stick your head up above the parapet. And that in itself makes you feel as though you have failed. And you are failing yourself by consciously keeping your mouth shut, quite simply. So what you have to do, my dear friend, is continue to be vocal and continue to exercise the thoughts that you have, and the attraction that you bring to yourself will be something which then continues to bring power to you. This isn't a power of negative ego. It's not a power of ego at all. It's a situational state which will enable you to connect with the higher states of life. That is the purest state of love, the purest state of being. After all, my friend, that is what your spirit is. So all you have to do really is to connect with your spirit and be vocal about that connection and be focused upon its deliverance so that when you see an opportunity, you say it. Why do you think that evangelicalism is so expressive and so overpowering in many forms, in many of its forms? Quite simply because they're not afraid to say so. They're not afraid to spread their conviction, and they really believe it and mean it. And so what you have to do, friend, if you are aligning yourself to wanting to becoming perhaps more full of wisdom, or not for wisdom's sake, but to help others, to be of service to others, to guide others, that is what giving and creating is all for. And that is why you are having a physical life at this very moment, so that you can connect with these energies, and so also that you can be a part, a true part of your spirit, and in its physical form.
Brian?
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so, friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question. With love and light, friend.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, well, so by meditation, you become more spiritually connected.
Yes, of course. And you become more spiritually connected quite simply because you are bridging the gap between your physical state, ordinarily tied by your etheric bead, to your spirit. Yes, of course, that tie still remains there. But you have to work at it to be able to strengthen that tie between your spirit and your physical state, and you do this through your consciousness. You do this through your creativity of your power of love within a self. That is something which perhaps you may use various systems in order to adopt, in order to bring to the surface of your life. You may sit and pray for hours if that's what you wish to do. Or you may wish to be of service to someone else, perhaps giving thoughtlessly in their life. Isn't that exactly what Jesus had always done, given thoughtlessly in his life? Isn't that what any one of you listening to this program is able to achieve? That's a simple fact, friend. And it's something that has been long missed in the annals of history, if you like. People gloss over the things that they're actually supposed to do and instead live for their own lives, which is all very well, of course. And many, I understand, would say perhaps that trying to gain enlightenment in this lifetime is something of a very selfish nature. Well, it isn't, if you do it by the correct route of giving yourself selflessly towards someone else.
And like you say, if you were enlightened, you wouldn't know it anyway. Because
no, exactly.
That is something that would be of ego to say that you are enlightened. So you wouldn't, yes.
Exactly.
And then you go round and round and round.
But that is the whole point. As soon as someone says that they're an ascended master or an enlightened being, they're not. Mm. Quite clearly, because they've categorically stated it. And that is the trait of human physical frailty. That is why human beings fall down on their sword every time when they think of the state of enlightenment. I want to be an enlightened being. I want to be like this person who says they're enlightened. But they're missing the point, quite simply because of the fact that they've said that they are means that they're not. Their declaration is faulty. Because, quite simply, they've put themselves in a physical state. And by being enlightened, you are not in a physical state. You have transcended that physical state of awareness.
Okay, well, the other thing that we hear a lot about is that like attracts like.
Yes, I have heard of that.
Yes, and the thing is, you know, I know a lot of people have said to me, and I believe it was questioned as well on certain programs on the TV of the people that did the program.
Yes.
You know, what about the abused child?
Yes.
Did they ask for that?
Well, exactly. Did they ask for it? No, of course they didn't. Did any child ask for any abuse, whether it was sexual, morality, whether it was something perhaps to do with that the abuse was a physical abuse? Perhaps they were beaten unconscious almost every day or every week or something like that. Some horrendous form of life did not allow them to become abused quite simply because they attracted it. And exactly, I have to say, my friend, by the same law of attraction, it was not to be said that if a human being has a guide who says they are an ascended master, then surely that, by the connotation of the law of attraction, must surely mean that the physical person is also some ascended being, some wonderful person of light, purely and simply because they are consulting with these beings of light. Because they're saying, oh, well, I am a beautiful being, therefore I am attracting a beautiful being, therefore I must be. Is actually missing the point. In stating that, of course, you as a physical being want to be able to attract that which is highest and best, greatest and most beautiful. Then perhaps you should attract the ugly woman living down the street from you, because perhaps within herself state, she is the most beautiful person you are ever likely to meet. Just because that is on the surface of what it paints to be, does not mean to say that deep within herself she has become that or she is that. It may, of course, be that by derision of physical state that person has become embittered because they have succumbed perhaps to their looks or something like that, because they've always been told, oh, you are a horrible person, just look at you, look at what you look like, therefore you must be a horrible person inside. It does not attract like.
Okay, I'm sure we can talk more about that.
Oh,
hello,
yes.
Caller.
Good evening. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Gregory. How are you doing?
Hello.
Oh, hi, John. Hello, John.
Hello.
My question is, you know, a lot of miracles, for instance, the apparition and other things that people see, it seems like a lot of times it happens in communities where people are expecting it. For instance, they'll see the Blessed Virgin Mary in Italy, but you don't hear too much about that happening in India.
Or London.
Is there such a power of attraction that's causing that to happen? And what about UFOs? Are those, where are those seen a lot? It seems like South America, for some random reason, a lot of people see them down there.
Yes.
But is that a power of attraction that's causing that?
An interesting point that you make, my friend. First of all, let's talk about situations like the visions that come about in France or Italy or wherever it is of the Virgin Mary. Yes, I would have to say that many of these situations can possibly be hallucinations in the first state. they may well be. That doesn't mean to say that they're not real, but hallucinations in the real sense may well be that they come from some other aspect or dimension, and that actually what you are visioning yourself is that you are actually coming in through the timeline and you're actually in the same vibration as that person, or that that person from the spirit world is creating. Therefore, you are enabled to see it and vision it in physical state in exactly the same way, my friend, that it may well be that somebody may well materialize in a physical seance. And the reason for it, it is obviously, of course, the presence of ectoplasm, but it can also become that a person materializes from the spirit world in a seance state where all the people involved in it are in a high state of love and bliss and awareness. And in that sense and state, it can be that the vision comes through from the spirit world purely because of the state of love that exists there anyway. Now, if, for example, then, you have a place where perhaps a vision is seen at a sacred site or something like that, well, then that already has a form of attraction to it. So you already have all of the many, many generations of people who have paid homage to that particular site, and it's already got a statement of it, of a link with humanity and with its spiritual nature. Its emotional evolution, if you like, is actually having a place and an effect upon that, the fabric of that very place, quite simply because of its vibration and the vibration of the energy that is there within the fabric of the actual structure of the place, and it's tied to the place. So you can quite easily see then why it can be that certain visitations, shall we say, from the spirit world, they may well be of a very specific religious nature, and they will just keep repeating, or perhaps they will change to somewhere completely different, possibly because of the life of one specific person who has attracted that vision to that place. So I hope that has explained that in a nutshell, as it were. But the point is to say that it's not to say that there are not visions in India or some such thing. They may well be visions of their own religious caste and their own system of faith and understanding. Gurus come and go, of course, but their essence will still remain in the fabric and the well-being of the place, of the planet, because that is what part of the planet it's made up with, and how it has formed, and how that energy has been utilized, released, and gained again, simply by the presence of other people, other physical people, who are attracting that law to it. I hope you understand that. Now, the situation to do with UFOs and other identified flying objects and that kind of thing, well, the situation is, of course, that it would depend entirely upon what envelope is, what the system of envelope that is happening at that moment in the atmosphere, or perhaps how the structure and integrity of the atmosphere at that particular time has enabled those particular beings to come from some other dimension, or perhaps ultra-dimensionally, or perhaps it just is that the actual symbolism of that particular area or place, it may well be, of course, extremely poor or something like that. It may be that they are of an identified state of religious exhaustion, even. And you may have a situation where many of these objects just suddenly appear as though it has been foretold or as though it's meant to be. And, of course, it can, as I say, usually aspire, come to the state of physical realization quite simply because of these various envelopes which can alter their place, where they allow these different craft to actually materialize in the physical form. Or, of course, they may just simply come down through the stratosphere and take refuge on the planet in some way or another. That doesn't necessarily mean to say that the same law of attraction applies. So if you are looking at the human and spirit interactivity with these different life forms and how they present themselves in physical life, well, it's obvious, really, that the law of attraction becomes that if you have a great deal of love within you, doesn't mean to say that you're going to attract the next UFO to come in your space, as it were.
But you do seem to get people seeing UFOs that are really into seeing UFOs.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
They do see
more than others. Yes, absolutely so, Fred. And it doesn't mean to say that just because they're doing that and they have that illumination in their minds or they have that vision in their minds, that they're then attracting it and it then becomes an illusion of the mind. As many psychologists would have it, oh, yes, it's a psychological event. One person points to the sky and says, look at that. And they all say, oh, yes, I can see that. And they cannot see anything, which, of course, is absolute rubbish, I have to say. So dispelling myths is really what we're about, and the situation happens to be that, of course, many thousands of people, but particularly, I have to say, in Mexico recently, have actually been witness to many indications and presences, if you like, of otherworldly beings from other places, other dimensions, and that kind of thing. They're not hysterical. It's not mass illusion or whatever. It's real. It's a real event in physical time, and they have become attracted to that event quite simply because they're there. I hope that answers you, friend.
That does. Thank you. But it also brought another question to my mind, if I could ask it.
Go on.
Yes, please.
You know, like when people, when magicians, etc., they invoke spirits and they bring forth. Sometimes, if you think real hard about a person, all of a sudden that person will come to you too. Does that have to do with the law of attraction?
Well, yes, it's also, my dear friend, the very fact that if you think about that person hard enough and with the right amount of love or affection that you had for them in their physical life and their presence now required it, perhaps because they're in the spirit world, then they'll come to you. Of course they will. That doesn't mean to say you've conjured them up. What it means to say is you've sent your love out and they've answered. And how beautiful is that? How magnificently pure is that connection? Absolute. Absolute. Without question.
Thank you very much. That answers my questions.
Thank you, John.
With love and life.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. So.
Love. Bye.
So, just saying about... just like to just finish on that, at the alien situation there with the UFOs. Do the aliens actually become attracted to the people that want to see them as well, initially?
Well, that's a very interesting point, my friend. And I would have to say I haven't talked recently with any aliens of note. But I would have to say that those that I have been conversant with mm-hmm. have actually indicated that part of the requisite for some of them, and that is for some of those who are perhaps more pleasurable, more positive, and more giving mm-hmm. to humanity and actually really want to help them, not to actually spread disease or discomfort or some other negative trait, then that is actually a state in which they will actually take it upon themselves. Most certainly, if a person is already querying mm-hmm. the existence of life, is already perhaps wondering, oh, I wonder if, it actually can open the doorway to them. That doesn't mean to say that thoughts are transient things and you shouldn't think of those if you don't want to attract them. The point is, of course, you could sit on your bed thinking of nothing but aliens for 20 years and not one will come and visit you. So quite simply, that doesn't actually pan out that well in the physical state.
Okay. Hello, caller.
Hi. Yeah, my name's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, and I just have a quick question.
Okay.
There's all this talk now about 2012 and this higher ascension and that, you know, part of the people on the planet are going to go off to another 3D reality to work out their stuff, and it's supposed to just happen in the blink of an eye, or,
yes.
You know, can you say anything on that?
Don't believe a word of it, friend.
Okay, so, I mean, we're just going to continue as we are?
Well, the point is, my friend, what I do have to say about the year 2012 and 2010 or 29 or 2016 could be equally as good years if someone actually put it out there that they were going to be the better focus of attention. 2016 is my greatest bet. In fact, that if everyone attracted their attention to the year 2016, then you can understand that it will succeed in being a very good year. and that a great many things will come about because of all of that attractive energy, which is bringing this great force of positivity to change the world. And that may well happen. So I am saying, my dear friend, many people boast about the year 2012 and its attraction to this and that, and that this will happen and that will happen. I don't believe a word of it, except for the fact that if human beings want to continue to align themselves to that thought, then it may well happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not to say that it's something which was already foretold. It's a myth.
Or by anybody else. Just
no,
by the energy that we put into it, it's going to make it a good year.
Exactly so. That is my point. So, my friend, what I would say to you is focus all of your energy into now and the next day and the next day and the day after that until you're passed to the spirit world, and you will have a glorious, beautiful life.
Okay, yeah, I guess I was thinking more about what the process is supposed to bring as far as reaching higher dimensions and people choosing to stay in the lower dimensions and will kind of just be...
Yes, that's a myth too, my dear friend.
Okay.
I have to say, my dear friend, if you want to think yourself into a bubble and that bubble is restrictive to you, then that is what it will be.
Okay.
If you want to think in terms of your rationale, my dear friend, that you want to attract the love and beauty within yourself, then connect with your spirit. That will give you all the journey that you need.
Okay.
If you want to really expand your awareness and creation, then you will beautify your mind by beautifying your life and your world. That is the central focus of anyone's life. And if you want to put everything off until the year 2012 and think you're going to be taken up by some alien starship to be rescued from the Earth planet, I'm afraid to warn you that you are mistaken.
No,
I'm not saying that you yourself, but I'm saying this as a broad example, my dear friend, to any people who may well be listening, that this situation is... many people put a great deal of store by mythological events, and that the chances are, however, if the law of attraction brings to you the great purity that you see, that you wish to desire within that mythological event, then it may well turn it into something of a physical event in the physical world that you can interact with. But I have to say, friends, that there are, it doesn't mean to say that there are less or more lessons learned by believing it or not believing it. All I have to say to you, friend, is be the pure, beautiful person that you are and continue to nurture that existence and that energy, for that is the pure state of love.
Right, right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you putting a different light on that. So I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Rebecca.
With love and light, friend.
Thank you.
God bless.
Okay, so well, we can go a little bit over tonight because... we were late, so I can't remember how many minutes we
three.
Could go. Three, was it? Okay, that's
yes.
Fine. So 3 minutes past the top of the hour we
yes.
Could go to. Okay,
I believe
fine.
So. I was listening in. On
were you?
Situation.
Yeah, well, that's yes. Good. You were on standby at the time, weren't you?
I was, yes. Yes, quite so.
Did we know this law before we were born?
This the law of
attraction? I
oh,
mean,
yes, of course.
We did.
Absolutely. In the spirit world, my friend, for the millions of years that you have been in existence in the spirit world, for the untold treasures that you have existed within in that state of the spirit world, being party to other people's lives, helping in other people's lives, helping in other animals' lives. And all of those experiences you have dwelt within in the spirit world have all brought you into alignment with the purity of the law of attraction and the purity of the law of love, which is, after all, how the universe exists and how the spirit world exists.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think, dear friends, that the spirit world is this lesser dimension or lesser level or one particular phase in the evolution of life. The spirit world is heaven. The spirit world is every beauty, every desire you could ever bring to fulfill in your mind. It can be that way if that is what you wish of it, if that is what you create within your physical life and take with you to the spirit world.
Prayer causes you to focus.
Yes.
So if the law of attraction causes everything in the universe that's in vibrational harmony to come to you, then
yes.
prayer is focusing it to go out to other people in a way, isn't it?
Exactly so. You are using your mind, you are attracting the energy of other people's thoughts or other people's actions or the situations that you see around you in your environment or something like that. And then you're gathering those together in a thought. And you are being reverent about it. You are being respectful toward the spirit that you are. And the purity of spirit that exists that you feel is on a higher plane to yourself. That means to say that, but in truth, if you were really connecting to your spirit, then, and your connection was pure, then you would realize that you were pure as well. And then your sensation of sending out and creating love within a self to send out to the universe in the form of a prayer would be that much more pure, wouldn't it? Because you would not be abstracted by the different thoughts and feelings that you've had of the other naughty things that you did in your past while you're trying to be reverent and respectful and everything else. And that is very often the cause of how some people are unable perhaps to focus their prayers as diligently as they might, quite simply because in the background they're thinking of all of these other things and thoughts and images and feelings and the things that you do when you're interacting in physical life, and that actually lower your vibration.
Well, I was just going to say that sometimes there's prayers and there's prayers. I mean, sometimes you can just go through the motion and you know, sort of ritualistically as a matter of course,
yes.
saying things. And then there's other prayers that you send out to people in healing thoughts and loving energies towards people. There is different, isn't there? I mean, a prayer is such a huge thing, really.
Yes.
I mean, it's God, it's love, it's universal creator.
It's you.
It's everything.
Yes, and when you are bringing about that connection to do with prayer, you are, perhaps as I say, being respectful. You are suddenly caught in that situation of the change of mood, the change of feeling, sentiment. Morality is in a sense, a thing that's left behind over there. It's over there, and what you are concentrating upon is the love within your heart, within yourself, within your vibration. You are wanting to connect, perhaps because you are emotionally driven or drawn. Perhaps you are emotionally connected to one particular person. You want to maybe send them love, maybe send them healing as a prayer. And what you're doing is when you are connecting with that person, you are sending out that vibration of love toward them, then they may well be responding to you. Yeah, they may well respond to you in kind, of course, via other ancestral memories or other ancestral members of the group who are in the spirit world, who have passed before you. If you are talking about communicating, sending a prayer, a loving prayer, or of healing, shall we say, to a loved one in your family or something like that, do you see? So what you're actually doing is they may well connect with it, they may not. They may just be sitting there having a sandwich or something like that. Or worse, they could be doing anything at that time that you're sending the prayer. It doesn't mean to say that you will necessarily allow them to attract to it, you see.
Mm.
What you're actually doing is you are creating that love gift between you and them. And that gift will be transferred by members of your ancestral family. And that love will then enable them to help that person to heal or give them whatever gift it is that you transfer through your loving prayer.
Okay, well maybe we start next week by how prayers help other people's law of attraction.
Yes,
if
absolutely.
They do, if they
yes.
do, if they have some involvement in that, and how other people's thoughts, direct thoughts, impinge on our lives.
Yes, I would be happy to.
Okay, lovely.
With love and light, then, dear friend.
Thank you, Gregory. God bless.
Be safe upon your journey, friend. God bless.
Well, I'd like to say thank you for anybody that joined us for the first time tonight, and you've been listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and this is Spirit's Work. So do visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and we'd love to hear you on enq@spirit-teaching.com at any time. So until next time, be peaceful, positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.